Wednesday, November 8, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong. You are all staying healthy right now. And yes, we are back. We took a short break last week. Went up to the city of Fort Collins. Spent some time up there with my kids who are attending college up there. Went to a Colorado State game. Saw them get beat by Air Force in the snow. Very, very interesting game up there, but we had a great time. Beautiful up there. We enjoyed it. I hope that your week is off to a good start, and I hope that the change in time is not ruining your world too much. Now, I won't lie. I'm feeling that time change. Because we turned our clocks back this past weekend for daylight savings time or whatever that stupid tradition is. I swear. I don't even understand it anymore. Why are we still doing this dumb, antiquated tradition anymore? Did we actually accomplish what we set out to accomplish? Did we, in fact, save the daylight? Has the daylight been saved? I sure hope so, because my sleep schedule is jacked and it gets dark now at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, you wanted to maybe go work out after work? Well, it's pitch dark, so good luck. Look, if we are going to keep this dumb tradition, then can we at least spring forward at like 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon and fall back at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning? None of this middle of the night crap. I'll be honest. I know that here in the United States, next year is going to be an election year. 2024 here in the U.S. of A. will feature a presidential election. Gonna be honest. I just might be willing to vote for whoever will quit messing around with my clock every few months. Unbelievable. And you know, leave it to politicians to give you like a blanket. Cut the bottom of it off. Sew it onto the top and then tell you the blanket is longer. No, it's not. It's the exact same length. You just changed it around. That's what politicians do, though. Just nonsense. Seriously, you want to stop messing around with daylight savings time, I just might vote for you. Oh, and also, if you'd give us a national holiday the day after the Super Bowl, yeah, I'd appreciate that, too. Remember, it is all about priorities, my friends. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, be sure that you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week. We have new articles going up. In fact, this week, I gave a bit of a mid-season report on my hometown Denver Broncos, but we have links to the podcast, we have links to the YouTube video, and yes, we have links to Daily Dose Gear. Hey, the holidays are coming, and they're coming fast, ready or not. So if you need a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, maybe a coffee mug for someone in your life, you might want to stop by DailyDoseSports.com and find exactly what you are looking for. Today, on the show, we have something extra special for you because we are going to be joined by the president of the Daily Dose I-Team. Yes, I am talking about Big Rob. We are going to be breaking down the college football season as we are now just past the midway point of that season, which makes me a little bit sad, I won't lie. But we're going to be taking a look at the teams that are living up to the hype, as well as the teams that are disappointing us most every week. Plus, we are going to have the opportunity to revise our picks for the college football playoff, and we will be making our pick for both the Heisman Trophy and the national championship. We have a ton to get to on the dose today. In fact, we have so much, we better get over to it right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we have a longtime friend of the show, and of course, the acting president of the Daily Dose I-Team that investigates those big stories and gets the information no one else can get, because Big Rob is joining us today to break down the 2023 college football season at about the halfway point. Rob, we have seen some surprises already. I fully expect to see a ton more by the end of the year. But as usual, it has already been a very fun college football season, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been great. I feel like every weekend there's an upset or something happens that we completely didn't expect. And like you said, a couple weeks to go, and it's going to be even worse, I think.
Well, and you know, every year we kind of get to this time and we start penciling in. I think this team's going to go, and this team's going to go, and this team's going to make it, and this team's not. And it never works out that way. We always get chaos. We always get a few teams falling off, a few teams stepping up. It's going to be very, very interesting. But before we get into the college football season, Rob, you joined us in Las Vegas earlier this fall. We went out to Vegas. We celebrated Mrs. Dose's birthday. We had an absolutely great time out there. Rob, what do you remember of our time in Vegas?
I remember being in Vegas. That's...
Yeah. Rob, you know, they have a lot of slogans in Vegas. They talk about, you know, things that happen and stay there. That's not true. That's a huge fabrication. They talk about it's a women's place to play. But Rob, you and I were in the bar. We saw a lot of working ladies there. They were not there to have fun. They were there putting in some serious work. Vegas is a big lie. Vegas is one big lie. But we had a great time when we were in Vegas. We watched a lot of games. We may have participated in Mimosa Night. I don't know what all went on, but we had a very, very good time. I was very happy to have you join us because we had a great time when we were out there. Rob, we got some things going on in college football, and they are all good. Because Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti was in Ann Arbor this last week to meet with Michigan school officials about the scouting and the sign-stealing scandal that is making other teams around the country very, very angry. Michigan is in the middle of a firestorm. The Big Ten initially deferred to the NCAA. But we all know the NCAA has no power whatsoever. They could literally tell you, yeah, you're on the, you know, lifetime ban. Shut up. We're not listening to you. So we know that that's not going to happen. But is there a chance that the Big Ten could step in and take a run at Harbaugh and maybe do something on their own to try to get some kind of punishment on Michigan?
It's possible. I don't think so. If I'm the Big Ten, because I know they already tried to push it by letting the NCAA make the call. But at this point, I think you got to wait it out. Season's almost over, and we just do it if there is, you know, ends up being violations, or I guess they prove it would probably be a better way to say it. We just do it after the season and vacate the wins, as they say.
That's what I think. Yes, and that's where I think it's going. My problem with it, and I'm hearing, and there are rumors that this week, we could see Michigan actually have a suspension handed down from the Big Ten. Here's my problem, like you mentioned. What's in it for Big Ten schools to do this? If Michigan does go to the playoff, those Big Ten schools all get money. If Michigan wins the college football, all those schools get money. You can be mad. You can throw a tantrum. You can do whatever you want, but you want that money, don't you?
Yeah, like you said, it really doesn't benefit them, especially except at this point in the season. Again, which, you know, maybe wait and, you know, pose the penalty going into next season, maybe. But like you said, at this point, you know, with being so close to the championships and the finals and everything, probably best to wait, just, you know, as the Big Ten, as the conference as a whole.
Yeah, I would think so. Now, here's a question that I have. And Rob, you and I were texting back and forth earlier this past week, and I was telling you that I have a little bit of a theory. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but I have a theory. I want to share this with you. I want to get your thoughts. Remember that the Big Ten ended their long-time relationship with ESPN recently. ESPN lost that bid to cover those college football games. Remember those Saturday morning games that we'd always see with the Big Ten? They no longer have those. Also, remember last year, Alabama basketball star Brandon Miller had provided a weapon in a murder to a teammate. ESPN didn't really cover it that much. They didn't seem to care. Why is ESPN all in on this story? If you turn it on, they're talking nonstop Harbaugh. They're talking nonstop Michigan. They're showing the clips. They're showing everything. This isn't a bone to pick between ESPN and the Big Ten, is it?
Or is it?
Or is it?
Could be. They're setting the stage. They've actually have the footage, ESPN.
Sure.
That's what I'm hearing. The I-team, according to the I-team. And there's a 30 for 30 coming out.
See.
It's going to expose it all.
it makes me wonder if ESPN does have a dog in this fight. That dog smells like bitterness. I don't know. We know that the NCAA doesn't have the power to do anything. We will see if the Big Ten chooses to do anything. I think it would be absolutely insane for them to do anything before the season ends, like you said. Well, Rob, we're going to have to address another story. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, he went to Boulder to take over at the University of Colorado. The Buffs won their first three games of the year, albeit against three teams that now have a combined record of 12-15. But Buffs fans immediately began booking their tickets to the national championship game. They were chirping about Deion is ahead of schedule. He's got this thing rolling. They are going to be a contender. Well, they have now lost five of the last six games, most of them in ugly fashion. Mental mistakes, penalties, stupid play, poor coaching decisions. There's a lot of posturing around that program. It's a lot of dysfunction, it feels like, around that program. I've seen players yelling at coaches. I have seen Coach Prime throw his own players under the bus, throwing his coaches under the bus. Rob, if you're a Colorado fan, how are you feeling right now?
As a Colorado fan, I think you're still feeling good. You know, exceeded your win total. There's still hype there, although it is dying down quite a bit. But I just think that first couple weeks of the season when things were rolling as a Colorado fan, that's probably something you haven't experienced in a while. So
yeah,
just the joy of those few weeks is hopefully enough to carry you through the last couple weeks of the season.
Well, and I know that Colorado fans are starting to say, you know, if you take away that Oregon loss, yes, we're losing, but we're battling, we're competing. But if we're going to say that, we could also say, but what if you take away the TCU win? What if you take away the Colorado State win? But, you know, we could play that game if you really want to, but you could be sitting there at, like, you know, 1-8 or whatever right now instead of where you are. Here is my concern for Colorado. One, it does concern me a great deal that Deion does throw sometimes his players. He said after these last few games, I need better offensive linemen. Okay, well, if I'm your offensive lineman, what's in it for me to come play for you? He's demoted coaches. He demoted his offensive coordinator. He put Pat Shurmur in his offensive coordinator. If you're a Bronco fan, you have to be thinking right now, dear God. But aside from that, here is my concern for Coach Prime and for the Buffs fans. Rob, can you build a team through the transfer portal? Because if you look at their recruits, they don't have much. They're not even in the top 50 recruiting wise. They're going to go transfer portal. This reeks to me of one and dones in college hoop. We're going to try to win with just one and dones. Maybe a year or two you can do it, but I don't know if this is sustainable, is it?
Well, that's the tricky part. He's going to have to start recruiting, and that's kind of, I think, what this is all going to turn on. I think a lot of it was just the hype train. Just the hype was too much, and, you know, people that really watch football, you know, knew that, you know, this couldn't last. And that, I think, you know, we're seeing that a lot now, just the way the season is coming down towards the end of the season, because it is all transfer portal. You don't have any depth, you know, because you don't recruit. So you're basically pulling out the transfer portal and those are all your starters. And it's a long season. You know, college football is grueling. So when somebody goes down, you know, you don't have anybody hurt or you haven't been building, you know, training anybody, you know, behind the backups or anything like that. So I think that's the tricky part. I think there is enough hype there just with Deion and who he is that he might be able to recruit, you know, 2-3 years. He can get people to the program. But like you said, if it's, you can't just go in the portal every year and build your team that way, because that, you know, you're going to have seasons like this. You'll win a couple games, but as the season goes on, especially on that backstretch, you just, you know, you don't have any depth, you know, not enough players.
Well, and I do wonder, can you get the big time offensive linemen and defensive linemen out of the portal? Because I got to feel like those guys, they go to a place, they're wanted, they're staying there. Yeah, the skill position guys, they kind of bounce. We see wide receivers go all over. We see corners go all over. You can do that. I don't know if you can get those interior linemen to just bounce around. It doesn't seem like they're doing it as much.
True, and it's got to be a mix. And almost the opposite situation of this is Clemson, who refuses to use the portal. So, again, you got to do both. You got to recruit. You have to build your program. Use the portal to plug in a couple places, you know, upgrade a couple places, but you still have to have the program, have to do the recruiting. And like I said, this is basically the opposite of Clemson. Clemson refuses to use the portal, and CU is only uses the portal.
Rob, You are the president of the Daily Dose I team. You get into places that sometimes people don't know about. They don't even know how to get there. They wouldn't know how to find them if they did. Rob, Coach Prime and his team has now been robbed twice, one at UCLA and one when he was at Jackson State. You would think he would tell his players, don't bring jewelry. I know when we coached at the high school level, we told kids not to bring jewelry to the games. Do you got any inside information? Who's doing it? Do you have any new jewelry? I was looking in the back. I don't see anything hanging on your wall, but I don't know. What is going on? Why do teams keep robbing Deion's locker room?
Oh, I mean, all the suspects are anyone with the TV. I mean, see? I think that's...
You're exactly right. We all know they come strutting in there. They got the chains. They got everything on. Go in the locker, but it might be, you know, pirate booty in there. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember the same thing, unrelated sports-wise, but Floyd Mayweather. I remember almost all his fights, he would get robbed, and it's like, okay, obviously he's fighting and he's not at home. But why is that? Because every time you see him, he carries the duffel bag of cash and the jewels and literally a backpack just with cash in it. So it's like, again, if it's out there and you flaunt it, you know, at least step up the security in the locker room.
Exactly. Yeah, you'd think you'd have a couple of, I mean, I realize you can't post your offensive linemen there because they're like turnstiles, but you'd think you'd have somebody watching all the valuables that are in your locker room on a game to game. I don't know. That seems kind of wild. Then again, you went to LA and didn't think you'd get robbed? Come on. What in the world is that? Rob, usually by this time of year, we're starting to hear that certain coaches' seats are warming up. It doesn't feel like we have as many big names, I guess, this year. But are there any coaches at the midway point that you're looking at and going, they better finish strong or they're not going to have a job much longer?
Oh, well, I think we got to start with, I think we mentioned him at the beginning of the year, yes. Texas A&M.
Jimbo. Yes.
I just don't know how you explain it. With the talent is there. It can't be talent. So it's got to be coaching at this point. And
you know, every year A&M has these visions. We're going to win things. We're going to compete. We're going to be, do you see our recruiting class? Our recruiting class is top five every year. They've never won anything in the history of ever. Jimbo overpromises. He underdelivers every single year. The Aggies are 5-4. I don't know how long you can do this. It just seems insane to me.
And it almost seems like they're getting worse.
Yes.
And they don't even have signature wins. I mean, I know like a lot of coaches can hang on there because they're terrible, but you know, you get this big win. And so maybe that buys you a little time, but I they don't even really have a signature win. So it's almost like they've gotten worse.
Well, you bring up a really good point because that signature win, I look at places like Florida with Billy Napier. I think he's been in some ways disappointing, but you have that Tennessee win and you go, hey, that was a big one. You have this win and you go, hey, I'm going to hang us on that. That's the direction we're trending. I look at, you know, obviously Jimbo, and I hate to say this, but I look at Mario Cristobal down at Miami, and I'm just like, when do you get that win that anybody talks about? Because, Rob, let's be honest. The Canes are 6-3, but they are in that recruiting area. They should be able to pull people out of their own backyard. $80 million? The man is getting $80 million, and you're 6-3? They haven't played anybody. I don't know. I don't know if Miami's – I don't know that they should be ready to pull the plug on him yet, but my goodness, when is that signature win going to come?
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, it's just, and the talent is there with both these programs. Yeah. I mean, there's the talent's there. And, you know, I obviously understand you have to give coaches a couple years, but again, you have to have something, you know, even just to make the fan base believe, you know, right. Just like to let us see the direction you're going. And it, like I said, it almost seems like it's trending down in both those situations.
Well, Cristobal took away the turnover chain, Robin. We've never been so furious in our lives about anything ever because that was the perfect picture of Miami football. Just worthless nonsense. Rob, by the way, I don't know. We talked about Colorado earlier. Have you seen Colorado has a turnover throne, I think, that they cart around? I wish I were kidding. You can find it on Twitter. There is a big throne people carry in and they set it down on the bench. And if you get a turnover, you can go sit on the throne. They never get to sit on the throne. It's very rare. They aren't getting turnovers. Okay, we're just going to move forward because this is going to make my stomach hurt. Rob, let's jump into our conference reviews at the midway point. Let's start in that Atlantic Coast Conference, which has been dominated by Clemson lately, but that's not the case this year. The Tigers are struggling a little bit. But Rob, do you have any teams that have been a pleasant surprise for you in the ACC?
For me, the easy one is Louisville.
Yeah.
I know we mentioned them for the season. We liked them just because the schedule was easy.
Sure.
But actually watching them play, I mean, that's a solid football team right there.
Well, it is. And they've got a manageable schedule remaining. And I know you talked about that schedule being a little bit soft. That's fine. Win what's on there. They had that bad loss to Pitt, but they're still in pretty good shape. If things fell right, I mean, Louisville could win the conference. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, but they actually could. Yeah, and I've done the same thing. I kind of finally had to tune in and watch them and be like, what's going on here? It's not a bad football team. I don't know if they're great, but they're not bad, and that might be enough this year. Do you have any more surprises? Because you took mine as well.
Well, my other one is, and you were on them at the beginning of the year, and it's FSU. Yeah, surprised, you know, run the table so far, undefeated. Looking at the rest of the schedule, I think they should finish out undefeated as well.
Yeah, I think they should.
Like I said, I know you were on them beginning of the season. I thought they would be good, but yeah, I'm impressed that they haven't dropped one, you know, thus far.
Right, and they don't have a, you know, the huge one's still coming. They kind of got past us. They actually have a pretty impressive, some pretty impressive wins on their schedule. So yeah, we're definitely going to talk about Florida State. They have been very, very good. What about disappointments though? Because you got to have a few disappointments, and I think we're both going to have the same one for sure.
Yeah, the team we just talked about, Miami. Like I said, talent wise, crystal ball. I thought they would be way better. I think they're sitting at 6-3 right now, and just some of their losses. I mean, some of those losses, they just look bad. I mean, you know, it's one thing to those close losses where we were in the game and like a last minute field goal kind of loss, but I mean, right, sometimes even in a couple of their wins, they just, you know, they don't look good.
The loss to Georgia Tech, when all they had to do was literally kneel on the ball and they refused to do it, was just mind-numbing. The loss this last week to North Carolina State, where they got blown out, that wasn't even a close game. Yeah, that's another one that Miami, that, you know, they have talent. Rob, I'm going to throw one out, and it's got to be Clemson. I mean, they got the big win on Saturday over Notre Dame, but in a season that we know the Tigers were hoping to maybe be a playoff contender, they're 5-4. Now, I guess some of those losses are quality losses. I don't know. They're to pretty decent competition, but they've had some bad ones too. I like the way, though, that Dabo yelled at that kid on the radio. I thought that was really fun. Clemson fans are definitely spoiled, but this is a disappointing season for Clemson, isn't it?
Absolutely. Like I said, this was one of my picks at the beginning of the season. I thought they would be where Florida State was.
Yeah.
The schedule was manageable. They would run the table. The defense would be good. And, yeah, ever since Deshaun left and Trevor Lawrence, I think that offense has never been the same. Defense has been fine. But they've never been able to replace that talent they had at quarterback for so long, which is, you know, probably a lot of the reason for that success when you think about those, you know, those quarterbacks they had for that time.
For sure. And you know, and then you start seeing things like this last week, injuries and a lot of guys out, and you kind of realize how fine that line is between winning and losing, because it can go bad, you know, so quickly. Have some guys out, whereas as those seasons they were rolling, every week they are kind of healthy, they figured it out, and now those, you know, they start to back up on you. Rob, do you have any other disappointments, or are you ready to give us your champion?
No, those were all my disappointments, or the biggest.
Those are mine as well. So. All right. Well, prior to the season, I did pick Florida State to be the ACC champ. I'm going to stick with that. You know, like we talked about, they have some very, very good wins on the schedule. They beat LSU, they beat Clemson, they beat Duke, which is a little bit better than it might look. They look like the class of the conference. I expect them to roll to that ACC title relatively easy. They'll be tested here or there, but I think they should roll to that. You gonna change your pick, Rob? Who did you have going into the season, and who are you going to take now?
I believe I had Clemson going into the season, and I'm jumping on board the FSU train with you.
Yeah, okay.
Like we talked about, end of the season, remaining games, I don't think they'd have any problem with those, and yeah, I see them going undefeated.
Yeah, I do too. They're going to make a push for that college football playoff, or at least they should if they just do what they should do. They're going to be favored in pretty much every game they have left. Rob, we move next to the Big 12, which is now beating each other up just a little bit, which is interesting. We expected the big dogs, Texas, Oklahoma, they're going to be in contention here, and they still are. But we have some teams in the Big 12 that have been a little bit better than expected. Rob, do you have any teams in the Big 12 that have surprised you so far this year?
Yeah, well, you know, I got to say my Mountaineers.
Yeah.
West Virginia, bowl eligible at 6-3.
See?
Yeah, complete surprise. Just playing good football. Like I said, unexpected. Had a rough couple years, but looked good. Bowl eligible. So that's biggest surprise by far.
Well, and we know, you know, that might have been a coach on the hot seat. He has come out and he's produced, had to get it done with his back against the wall. And right now he is doing exactly that. I like that pick of West Virginia. Rob, I'm going to put a team out there, and I'm still not completely sold on them. But every single time I think Mike Gundy is dead in the water in Stillwater, he surprises me. Oklahoma State is now 7-2. They just got that last win in the Bedlam series against Oklahoma, at least for a while. I'm sure they'll get that back on the schedule, but it's not on there right now. When the Cowboys lost, though, to South Alabama and Iowa State, I'm like, they're done. They're going to be horrible this year. They're kind of rallied. They're kind of rolling. They now have wins over K-State, over Kansas, over Oklahoma. Hey, Mike Gundy is a man. He's 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I think he's 50. I don't know. And he is back from the dead yet again. I'm surprised by it, but well done, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of mine as well. Like you said, every semi-surprise, because every couple years it feels like, you know, there they are, like right in the mix. Another surprise for me is going to be Kansas.
Yeah.
7-2 this season, 7-2 so far. And that's a program that, again, you think Kansas basketball school, but past couple years, the program's been building. And here we are another year with, you know, a really good record. Still not quite at the top of the Big 12, but I think getting there. I think, you know, going into next year, when you start listing 2-3 teams, you're going to have to include them, because they've been, you know, good now for a couple years now.
Yeah, they have. And they were the other team that I had as a surprise. Lance Leopold is doing a phenomenal job. They storm the field when they beat Oklahoma. If you don't know, Kansas storms the field after big wins. They tear down their goalposts. They drag them down the hill and they throw them in Potter Lake. I have no idea why. I don't know who goes and gets them, but they do. I've actually been there when they've done it. It's a wild scene. But Kansas is kind of like playing football. Like, we're used to them just being basketball, only they're doing a pretty nice job out there. And that's a really fun team, actually, to watch. I've watched them a few games. They're throwing it all over. They do some good things offensively. I'm very impressed with Kansas. Rob, what about disappointments? Who do you have disappointing you in the Big 12?
First one I'm going to give you is TCU. And I know we mentioned this before the season. Was that a one-off season? Was that just a one-hit wonder last year? Or had they, kind of like we just talked about Kansas, is this a program now that's building, you know, on each year? And they've just looked terrible the whole season. I mean, granted, they lost a lot of people. But again, you know, like we talked about, is this truly a program that you're building, or just, yeah, you know, one hot season you had? So that, very disappointing, TCU.
I had them down as well. They go to the college football playoff last year, and we knew they lost a lot of people, but my goodness, they're 4-5. They're probably not even going to make a bowl game. I don't know. I expected that. They were returning still some talent. They were, the cupboard wasn't bare. Yeah. It makes me wonder, was that just a one, you know, one hit wonder kind of thing, because you couldn't sustain it? And he didn't have to sustain it at that level, but you're not even good. Yeah, it's disappointing. Rob, I'm going to throw another disappointment out there, and it's another team from Texas, and that is Texas Tech. We thought they might be kind of a sneaky dark horse team there. Yeah, they're real sneaky. They suck. They don't even look like they're going to be bowl eligible as well. And the Red Raiders look like a team. Hey, they've got some pieces. They showed some signs last year. They have done absolutely nothing this year. I think they're dangerous actually down the stretch, but they're not playing very well.
Yeah, I agree. That's another one. Like I said, just talent wise, you thought they would be more, at least have a winning record at this point of the season. And then a couple more. And hopefully I don't steal any from you.
I'll take whatever you have.
All the newcomers to the Big 12, UCF, Cincy, BYU, Houston, all of them have losing records in the conference and just always seem like pretty good programs. I thought they would mix in and, you know, have a little bit more effect when they move to the Big 12. You know, UCF every couple of years has a good team. Cincinnati, BYU is usually tough. But like I said, all the newcomers to the Big 12, none of them really showed up, all at the bottom of the standings.
Good call, because we talked about them a little bit. Hey, maybe someone's going to come and make some noise. Maybe a BYU could come in, done anything. And every week I'm like disappointed, like, okay, maybe this week they find, no, they didn't. Yeah, I thought they would come in and do something. UCF, man, that national championship seems like so long ago, doesn't it? Yeah, that's. I would agree with that. I would go with that for sure. What's your other disappointment? Did you have one more?
Well, that was it. I've actually just lumped them all in together.
Put them all together. Yeah, no, that's 100% true, though, because we did think they're going to make some noise, at least maybe knock off a team or two. They haven't done anything. So at the beginning of the year, I had picked Texas. Did you pick Texas for Big 12?
I think I did, yes.
Yeah, we both had Texas. I'm going to keep my champ as Texas. They did have a loss to Oklahoma. I don't want to say it was a fluky loss because I don't think it was, but they did have some unforced errors, and I think Texas is still going to win this conference. I think they'll have a shot to go to the playoff, so I'm going to keep Texas. Rob, are you going to revise your pick, or are you going to stay with the Longhorns?
I'm going to keep Texas. I don't feel good about it. Part of me wants to take Oklahoma State just because they've been on the uptrend. Texas do have that one loss, but they probably should have two more, if we're being honest.
Yeah, you're right.
Some of those last, end of the game management a couple times, they just feel like they've been right on that edge. And so I don't trust them down the stretch, even though the schedule is not great. Like I said, I could see them by default. I'm going to take them. They should take it. But again, if they trip up, I would not be surprised at all.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'll take them and look, through my fingers at them, because they're going to scare me the whole way. Rob, we move next to the Big Ten, where the Michigan Wolverines look like the class of the conference. And yet, we talked about it earlier, we have some questions about that program. Could they be in trouble with those rules violations? I would think they'd wait and collect all those checks before they really get them in trouble, but we'll see. Ohio State has a pretty nice path to win this conference. Let's see how the Big Ten is shaping up. Rob, do you have any pleasant surprises in the Big Ten? I struggled to come up with one.
Yeah, I didn't really either. Like I said, I was pretty high on Wisconsin going into the season.
Yeah.
Pickle's first year. Okay, kind of. Not great. I thought they would be a little bit better. But no real surprises here for me.
I guess I'm going to go with Rutgers. I usually forget they even play football, but they do have a 6-3 record. They haven't really beaten anyone good. But New Jersey State is probably going to go to a bowl game. And that's nice for a state that smells like pee. What about disappointments? Do you have any disappointments in the Big Ten? Because I've got a lot.
Yeah, I'll start with probably the biggest one. Penn State. Yeah, the hype is there. The hype was there before the season. Granted, they only have one loss. But again, it's just, when will they get over that Michigan-Ohio State hump? Yeah, so that's...
Well, and that defense looks good. That defense looks maybe elite. That offense, again, is awful. And they just don't have that playmaker. If they had that quarterback, that running back, that wide receiver, they don't have that guy. And so they, they play the big dogs, and you can just see, you don't have Marvin Harrison Jr. They do, and you don't. And as a result, it doesn't even look, it doesn't even seem very fun. Like, I wouldn't want to see a rematch of that game. We already know how that's going to go. So yeah, Penn State is disappointing to me. I'm going to throw Michigan State in there.
Yeah.
Not that we had these big high hopes for them, but my goodness, I know they beat Nebraska this past week, but that team is a complete disaster. Head coach Mel Tucker was fired at the beginning of the season just for being an idiot. They're not 3-6. They are in dead last place in the East. But I'm going to throw this out there. Michigan State has the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever if they go recruit Deion Sanders to come to East Lansing. That would be so hilarious. I would laugh for the rest of my life. Rob, you got any more disappointments in the Big Ten?
One more I'll give you is Iowa. Even though they're 7-2, again, that's much like Penn State. Another team with a great defense and then just no offense to kind of pull it all together, especially in Big Ten West. Like I said, they are 7-2 on top of the West, but I would have hoped for the offense to come together to make them more of a challenge in that division.
Agreed. Rob, I'm going to see your Iowa, and I'm going to raise that. I'm just going to go the entire West of the Big Ten, because the entire West division is a disappointment. Contemplate this. Like you said, Iowa is in first place. They average like 17 points a game. Wisconsin sucks. Minnesota sucks. I expected nothing whatsoever from Nebraska. They've still disappointed me. I don't even know how that's possible. The West is ready for basketball season. They have been terrible this year. Whoever wins the East is going to walk away in the Big Ten. Okay, so we made our picks prior to the season. Did you have Michigan? Did you have Ohio State going into the season?
I had Michigan.
Yeah, I had Ohio State. I'm a little bit torn on this because I believe Michigan's going to win it if they leave Malone to let him win it. If it's decided on the field, I think Michigan is the better team. I like Ohio State. They have an easier schedule. As long as it's not taken off the field, I think Michigan is the better team. I would make my champion Michigan.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Michigan. Same reasoning as before the season. That last game against Ohio State is at Michigan.
Yeah.
Which gives them the nod. Schedule's been pretty weak over the course of the season.
Very.
But they have dominated, so at least you can say that. I feel like Ohio State doesn't really pull it together until the third quarter every right. game. And, you know, God forbid Harrison goes down. They're in a whole lot of trouble. But, yeah, I'm going to give Michigan the edge still just because they got the big game at home.
Okay. Yeah, and I would go Michigan as well. I hope, honestly, I hope that it's not decided off the field. I want to see it decided on the field. And if that's the case, I think the Wolverines look like the best team in that conference. Rob, the Big 12 is dying. This is the final season of that dreadful conference that was so horribly mismanaged that they literally ran it into the ground. And yet, going into the season, we had said this conference may go out with a bang. They have a chance to go to the college football playoff. I'm feeling a little less confident right now because, like good conferences do, one, they beat each other up. And we're starting to see that a little bit. Two, they don't play any defense whatsoever. But do you have any teams in the Pac-12 that have been a pleasant surprise?
Actually, most of them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're right.
Just the top half of that. Just picking out one, I'll start with Utah. Quarterback never came back. That was kind of all up in the air. But they're still 7-2 somehow without Rising. And, surprising, you know, I guess, you know, since he wasn't there, that they're still, you know, right up there competing for a title.
Yeah, I would give you that, too, because when they talked at the beginning of the season, the talk was Rising might be there for the start. I didn't think they knew all along he wasn't going to be. The fact that they've done as well as they have is actually pretty amazing, and it is a testament to the job that Kyle Whittingham has done because he has the depth, he has the program to be able to overcome a loss like that. Rob, I'm going to name Arizona a pleasant surprise. I didn't expect much from them at all. They have 3 losses this year, but they're by a combined 16 points. They beat UCLA on Saturday, and quarterback Noah Fifita, he looks like he might be a guy to watch going forward. The Wildcats could be headed to a decent bowl. It's not basketball season. This is pretty impressive for Arizona, so I'm going to name them.
Yeah, I agree with that one. One more I'll give you, Oregon State. That's another one DJ started over. And again, they're sitting at 7-2 right now and, you know, looking really good. And again, this is a conference, like you mentioned, that, you know, kind of beating each other up. But yeah, for them to be 7-2 at this point in the season, that's certainly surprising to me.
Agreed. I'm going to add one more team, and they're not a surprise in terms of wins, but I'm going to put Oregon on my surprise list. Like I said, the record isn't surprising, but Rob, they have been absolutely dominant at times. Bo Nix, I'm starting to think he might be trustworthy, and we never thought that. But for that alone, I'm going to name the Ducks a surprise because I'm starting to believe. I'm not sure I'm all in, but I don't know. I'm starting to believe in Bo Nix. I think Oregon might be a team to watch. What about disappointments? Because we've got a few of those. At least I've got 2 of them.
Yeah. First one I'm going to give you USC, yes. Specifically the defense. Again, it didn't get better. I mean, Lincoln Riley, Grinch as the DC, and it's been a problem ever since. Yes. I mean, that probably is what kept Lincoln Riley from winning a title so far is the defense, and somehow went to California and got worse. So that's very, very disappointing. Especially for Caleb Williams, man, just some of the scenes, you know, at the end of the game, just watching him give his all and, you know, yes. crying in the stands, like you feel really bad for him. So that defense is disappointing.
That defense has been so bad that USC has already fired Grinch. And it was probably, you know, a year too late. But like you said, this isn't unique to Grinch. This seems to be a Lincoln Riley tradition. And that's too bad because there are times Caleb goes out and makes bad plays and has mistakes or whatever. I know there's some people kind of down on him, but we also talked about this before the year. There were going to be people that were going to try to poke holes in Caleb Williams. I still see a very, very capable guy. I would still take him with the top pick unless I see differently. But he doesn't have a lot of help. When right. you go out and you score 48, you think you're going to win the game. He might lose by 2 touchdowns. That's kind of tough to overcome. I'm going to give you my final disappointment in the Pac-12, and that is Washington State. I really like the Cougars going into the year. They started, they had wins over Wisconsin, and they beat Oregon State. And then they've just gone down the hill. I don't know what happened. They have been horrible. They are in dead last in the conference. I didn't expect that from the Cougars. I wasn't expecting national title, but I thought they'd be scrappy. They look absolutely horrible. I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree. And the last one I'll give you is Stanford. And that's just more as the Pac-12 as a whole. That was Stanford was always a program, kind of like we mentioned before, a team that was pretty good and would usually have like a signature win in there or be competitive in some games. And I know the coach left, but that's just kind of see them down is just, you know, disappointing as a whole, just for as far as the Pac-12.
That really is. And when their biggest win of the year is beating Colorado on Parents Weekend, I mean, we all laughed, but it's kind of pathetic. I mean, it really isn't like a great win. It was hilarious at the time, but it wasn't a win. Rob, going into the season, I had picked Utah to win the Pac-12. You had picked Washington. You've got to be feeling very, very good about that Washington pick. Are you going to stick with Washington, or are you going to go someone else to win this conference?
I'm going to stick with Washington. I honestly feel I think Oregon might be the best team in the Pac-12.
Yeah,
I started with Washington. They're undefeated. They already beat Oregon once, barely beat them, but that counts. So I'm going to officially stick with Washington.
Okay. And I don't blame you. I am going to change my pick. I don't feel like Utah is going to get back there. I am going to change it. And I'm going to take Oregon to make things interesting. So when it comes down to the Pac-12, it's probably going to be those two teams playing each other. Washington scraped out a win at home. We'll see if they could do it in a neutral field game. But I think that's going to be a really, really fun one to watch down the stretch. See if those two teams can keep it rolling. Rob, we finish up our conferences with the big dog of college football, the always powerful Southeastern Conference, who at times has looked a little vulnerable this year. Could this be a season that the SEC does get knocked off? We've seen it before. Rob, do you have any pleasant surprises in the SEC?
I guess I'll say Tennessee. Kind of like we mentioned before, one of those things where was it just a one-hit wonder, or are you building a program? This year, they're sitting at 7-2 currently. So that's surprising that they've kind of maintained that standard or that bar that they set last year. Interested to see if they'll keep it rolling. But Tennessee's been a surprise to me.
Well, and Tennessee is going to get Georgia. And they could maybe be sneaky there. Mm-hmm. Playing, you know, at home, that stadium can get really, really loud. I want to see what they do, because the disappointing thing is how bad Justin Timberlake has let himself go. He's fat. He looks out of shape. I don't think he can dance at all, but he's on the sideline every week for Tennessee. He looks like a mess. But can he keep that rolling and get them a win? Rob, I'm going to give Ole Miss and the Fightin' Lane Kiffins a pleasant surprise. They're 8-1. They've only lost to Alabama. They haven't beaten a big dog, though, so I'm not fully in on them, but they're probably better than I expected them to be. They've got a pretty good offense down there. The defense isn't always so great, but I'll give Ole Miss a little bit of a pleasant surprise. I considered Missouri, but they haven't really played anybody, and so they're 7-2. But you saw when they played Georgia this last week, you know, they were on the edge for me of maybe putting them in there. And they just kind of missed it for me because they did get beat by George on Saturday and kind of got beat handily. It didn't seem like it was that close, only close for a half. So Ole Miss is the only true surprise I have. You have any other surprises in the SEC?
Missouri was actually my last one.
Yeah.
And then same reason you said, they're somehow 7-2.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how. I mean, basically because of the schedule, but just the fact that, you know, they are 7-2, that is
surprising. Hey. It's the state of misery. We don't expect anything from them. So the fact that they're 7-2, probably going to a decent bowl game, yeah, good for them. What about disappointments? Because we've got a couple of those, don't we?
Yeah, I'm going to start with my conference winner, I believe. Or I think I picked them to win. LSU.
Yeah.
It's specifically, again, like USC, the defense. I don't know what happened.
Yes.
Offense is actually really good. But, yeah, the way that defense is playing, I mean, it looks like right up there with USC and Oklahoma. Defense is terrible.
Yeah, defense is terrible. And I'll say this too, Jaden Daniels, that quarterback, really has impressed me. He's a lot better than I thought he was. Really, really dangerous with his legs, can move around and make plays. Really dangerous with his arm. Got a huge arm for such a skinny kid. Looks a little bit like Crabman on My Name is Earl. But he takes more hits that are on the edge of being illegal every week, and it doesn't seem like the refs ever look out for this kid. I don't know why they hate him. Maybe they hate Brian Kelly. I don't know what it is. But LSU is 6-3, and we thought Notre Dame was holding back Brian Kelly. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe yeah. Brian Kelly just can't beat big dogs, because anytime he sees one, he loses to them. I had LSU down as a disappointment. I will also nominate the team we talked about earlier, Texas A&M. They're just on my disappointment list every single year. They have a top recruiting class every year. They do nothing with it whatsoever. That's just how A&M is. That is my final disappointment. If you have any others, we will take them.
I got one more. Okay. I apologize in advance. Florida.
I understand. And you know, going into Saturday, I was feeling okay about Florida. That loss at home to Arkansas, that's a bad loss, Rob.
Yeah, similar to, I think all the points we made with Miami earlier also apply to Florida, just with the talent there.
Yes.
And again, even this season, just that one win or that one game where you're like, okay, they're closer, they're almost there, and they just, again, almost look, have gone down since last year, you know, on the downswing.
Yep. And you, if you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, especially at home, you can cut them some slack. When you have that loss, you're losing to Georgia, okay, but losing at home to Arkansas, and that's not a very good Arkansas team. Yeah, that's a really, really bad loss. I would totally agree. Florida has been disappointing. Rob, prior to the season, I picked Georgia to win the conference. I'm going to be stubborn, and I'm going to keep that pick, but I don't feel great about it. Georgia is scraping out wins. They're scrappy, tough defense. I'm worried a little bit about the offense with tight end Brock Bowers out. That scares me a lot. I'm going to stick with Georgia, but I'm not going to feel great about it. You going to change your pick, or you going to keep you had LSU?
I think I did. I can't remember. I had LSU. I know I had them making the playoffs, so I don't know if I had them in as a one loss and Georgia winning it. But regardless, I'm taking Georgia. Same thing, like you said, Bowers has to come back for sure. Schedule hasn't been great, but they've been winning fairly comfortably for the most part. So I think they got enough to see them through. So I'm gonna go with Georgia.
Okay. Rob, we spend most of our time talking about those Big Five conferences because that's who produces contenders. But do you have any surprises off the board that weren't in the, you know, aren't in those Big Five conferences? Do you have anybody outside that?
Well, we should probably talk about Notre Dame. I don't know if I'm surprised, because it feels like a Notre Dame kind of season.
Sure.
But they've been close. I mean, I think they've got three losses now, and they've kind of been in the game. They've been in all the games. Probably one or two of those, at least one of those losses should be a win probably. So again, it's classic Notre Dame, but I just can't really decide how I feel about them, if they're as far as they're building, or they're just always going to be that same Notre Dame.
Right. Agreed. And the one thing I give them in their favor, I really like Marcus Freeman. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is a guy that gets it. I feel like he is accountable when he makes mistakes. He owns them. He's not afraid to do that. And I think his players love him because of that. And I think he has a chance, you know, we've been talking about it today, to build that program that is consistently, you know, top 25 in that level. Can they get to that level of being elite? I don't know, because Notre Dame does have restrictions, but I really like what Freeman's done this year. Yeah, I would definitely be sure to mention them, because I do like what they've done. They've battled every week. I'm going to put Liberty on my surprise list. No, they haven't beaten anyone, but we've got like a Jerry Falwell school or whatever. They're 9-0. There's only 8 teams in the country that are undefeated. I'm not sure Liberty can hang with anybody, but maybe if they got in a bowl game, maybe it would be interesting to see. They do score some points. So I would say Liberty just being undefeated is absolutely amazing. You got any other surprises outside of the big dogs?
No, just Notre Dame.
Any disappointments? Because I have one.
I don't.
Okay, I've got one disappointment. I'm going to nominate a Group of Five disappointment, and that is Boise State. Boise has a history of, you know, dominating. It's just the Mountain West, but they're always pretty good. Maybe they slip in and they knock off a team. Boise State has been bad this year. They are 4-5. They'll make a bowl game, but they've underachieved, not just this year, but going back the last couple of years. It seems like Boise State might be on a little bit of a slide. Going to be interesting to see if they can get back into contention, because right now I'm not very impressed with the direction that they are going. Rob, I want to talk a little bit about the Heisman. because we have USC quarterback Caleb Williams back this year. He was the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman for the second time. That's not going to happen. That team has had too many losses. I think Caleb takes way too much grief for those losses, but he's not going to win the Heisman. I think we can agree on that. So, do you have any nominees before you give me your answer? I believe going into the year, I think you picked Michael Penix out of Washington, didn't you?
I did.
Looking like a very, very nice pick. Got any other guys you want to mention before we get to your winner?
I do. I'm going to say Jaden Daniels, LSU, and I think he runs into the same problem that Caleb does, just too many losses at this point.
Yeah.
Knocks him out the mix. And I'll give you another one, Bo Nix, Oregon. 78% completion on the season. Completely in control of that offense. So I think he's got a good shot at it.
That is just shocking to me. Rob, we've watched that kid since he was at Auburn. He was an absolute idiot. I give them a ton of credit. Bo Nix looks like the real deal. I don't know if there is a more effective play right now in college football than Marvin Harrison in the red zone. Just throw back shoulder, he'll go find a way. I think Marvin Harrison gets some mentions. I know wide receivers don't typically win that award, but I think he's in the mix. I think J.J. McCarthy, quarterback at Michigan, he's put up huge numbers. He's had a huge season. I do wonder if they're going to penalize him for the sins of his coach. And so maybe that keeps him out because he might end up being the top quarterback on the top team. We'll see how that goes. I am going to stick with my quarterback that I picked prior to the season. I don't think he's going to get it. I don't think he has enough. There's not enough hype for him, but I picked Florida State quarterback Jordan Travis. He's had a great year, but here's something to think about. This last week, it was Pitt. I understand. He threw for 360 yards. He had 2 touchdowns. Cool. He didn't have his top 2 wide receivers. That's pretty amazing. Jordan Travis is putting up huge numbers this year, so I'm going to stick with him. I don't think he'll win it, but I'm going to stick with him. What do you got, Rob? Who are you going with? Are you sticking with Penix?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Penix. Like I said, I mean, has had a good season. There's a chance they finish undefeated, and if so, I think that'll be enough. But if they do end up dropping one or losing to Oregon in the rematch, probably goes over to Bo Nix, but I'm going to stick with Penix Jr.
Penix has had 3 or more touchdowns in 7 of the Huskies' 9 games. That's amazing. What he has done there, remember he was playing at Little Indiana and we kept hearing about him. You'd see him on TV and be like, oh, that team's kind of terrible. Michael Penix is no joke. Not a huge guy, but man, he finds ways to get things done. I like Penix a lot. Okay, Rob, we've gone through each conference. We have picked our contenders. We have picked our disappointments. We have picked who we think is going to be the champ and our disappointments, obviously. We've looked at all these teams. Now that we have gone through, we've adjusted our picks. We are going to get into our college football Final Four. Rob, who is your revised number 1 seed this year?
This has not changed. Still going to be Georgia, number 1.
Yeah, I'm going to stick there as well. That schedule's soft. It's still manageable. They may be tested here and there, but I don't know if anyone's going to beat them. It just feels like they're going to. Kirby Smart, the job he's done down there is absolutely amazing. Okay, so we're agreed. We both got Georgia at 1. At number 2, who do you have?
Number 2, this also has not changed, and that is Michigan.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to switch my number 2 seed to Michigan as well. They just look like that offense might just be too good to stop. That's a pretty balanced team. They're pretty good up front on both sides of the ball. As long as the powers that be don't eliminate them from, making them a bunch of money, I think Michigan is going to be the number 2 seed. Who do you have at number 3?
Number 3, this is like a half switch. I had Clemson, and I'm going to replace them with fellow conference foe FSU.
Okay, and I've got Florida State at number 3. Rob, we're going 3 for 3 again. We do this every single year. But I've got Florida State at number 3. I thought they could slip up early in their schedule and maybe take a loss, and they didn't. They have managed to push through. I think Florida State can go to this playoff, and I think they could be pretty dangerous when they get there. Rob, we're 3 for 3. Who do you have at number 4?
Four, this is going to be a change. I tried to hedge my bet last time with SEC, so Bama and LSU. I ended up picking LSU, so I'm hedging that conference for the Pac-12 and Washington, Oregon. I'm going to say Washington right now, but again, it feels like it's going to come down to those teams. So the winner of the Pac-12, that's who I've got taking the fourth spot.
See, and I have Oregon knocking off Washington in that rematch, so I'm going to go Oregon at number four. So we've basically changed our picks prior to the season to be our picks still the same. Didn't really change anything. We ended up agreeing on the same picks again. Okay, so if we go to those semifinals, we each have Georgia at one. You've got number four Washington. I've got number four Oregon. Who's coming out of that first playoff game?
I think this is going to be a good game, but I'm going to give it to Georgia. I think that defense is enough to get them through. As exciting as either of those offenses will be, I actually think Oregon would probably give them a better game because I think that's a little bit better offense than Washington.
I would agree.
But regardless, I would still pick the Georgia offense over the high-flying offense of the Pac-12. So I'm getting Georgia to win.
Yeah, I am too. I'm just going to go conference strength. And Georgia finding a way to get that done against, I would have Oregon, but Georgia's been there. They've done it. They know how to do it. I would take their strength over the Pac-12. I have Georgia advancing as well. So in the second game, we have the exact same matchup, Michigan versus Florida State. Who's coming out of this win?
I got to go Michigan. I mean, they'll have the signs. And again, they've been there before, haven't been great there. But again, I just think defense, a program as a whole, they'll have a little bit too much, or I should say just enough to get by. So I see that a very close game, but I'm giving Michigan the nod by probably like a field goal.
Okay. I'm gonna be right in that same vein. I'm going to take Florida State to pull the upset, but it wouldn't be a huge upset. I think that would be kind of a coin flip game. So I'll just go the other side and take Florida State. So you've got Georgia versus Michigan in your championship. I've got Georgia versus Florida State in mine. Who's coming out on top, Rob?
This is where the cheating catches up with them. I got Georgia winning it all. Again, Bowers should certainly be back by then. I just don't think Michigan has enough to keep it going. Georgia pulls away in the second half. So give me Georgia.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm taking Georgia to beat Florida State. So, Rob, we disagree on like one or two things. It always comes back to the same again. We still have the Georgia Bulldogs. Rob, we have a season that the SEC doesn't look great, but they're great in key spots. They're great on their defensive lines. They're pretty darn good on their offensive lines. They've got enough skill guys. I don't know. I just feel like they're still going to scrape out a way to do it. I would be fine to see them fail, by the way.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen. Goodness. Rob, we're right back. We do this every single time. We don't pregame these at all, but we always end up agreeing on these, whatever we choose. We both got Georgia coming out on top in the college football playoff. But having said that, we're going to have some really, really fun games coming. And you know, we're going to have surprises. Right now, we're looking at this going, hey, this might be pretty cut and dried. You know, as it comes down, somebody will slip. Somebody will step up. That is just how college football goes. Rob, got something else we need to talk about. The Premier League standings. Right now, we've got Man City and Tottenham like neck and neck. They're within a point or two of each other. Rob is a Man City fan. I have adopted the Tottenham Hotspur as my team. Rob, I mean, these guys are going to meet each other in a few weeks at Man City. It's going to be a big game. Who's coming out on top in this Premier League situation?
Oh, man. It's Man City. I mean, it's got to be.
You stop that right now.
It's got to be. I hate to say it as a Man U fan, but yeah.
I thought you were a Man City fan. Are you Man U?
Man United. Yes, yes, yes.
I swear, I thought you were Man City. Man U is kind of struggling this year.
Terrible. I think Ten Hag is on the hot seat. I don't know how much longer he's got there, and I don't know what happened. We started, Ronaldo left, and feels like he had things under control, and all of a sudden we can't score anymore, and midfield struggling, so it looks bad. But
well, and that's what I thought Tottenham was going to do. They lose Kane, and I was like, well, that's the end of that. They've actually been better than we've seen them be in quite some time. Rob, I got a question for you. Next week, we're going to break down the NFL. going to do a very similar thing. Going to look at some surprises, some disappointments. Is there any way we can get you to come back and join us again? Because we would love to get your thoughts on the NFL season that is rolling along. We're just passing the midseason point there as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. College has been great and exciting, and NFL is not far behind, behind at all. So Saturdays are great. And then Sundays I do the same thing, watch it all with NFL. So yeah, I'll definitely be back.
Rob, we're going to have a ton to cover. That league is wild every single week. Your Philadelphia Eagles scraped to a wild win on Sunday over the Dallas Cowboys. I was like, the game's over. I was about to turn it off. You just about had a butt fumble. Like everything went crazy right at the end. Dallas actually had a chance to win it. Philly comes through and scrapes one out. You are seeing some wild things. Meanwhile, my Broncos had a bye week. They didn't lose. I'm going to count that as a huge win. Hey, things are looking up for both of us is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, still have quite a few weeks to go. So it's only going to get better.
It's going to be fun. Well, we're going to come back next week. We're going to talk some NFL and we're going to break down what the NFL is going. We might actually have a few other knuckleheads join us as we many times do in that NFL preview. But Rob, always want to say thank you for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. We always appreciate your opinions. Appreciate your time. You do a ton for us here. Love having you come in, and I cannot wait for the remainder of this college football season.
Me either. It's always a pleasure, and I'll see you next week.
Hey, next week on The Dose, like we just talked about with Rob, we are going to be bringing you our NFL midseason report and checking in with the picks that we made prior to the season late this summer. Who is going to the playoffs? Who is going to be winning Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas? We will answer those questions and so many more next week. So be sure that you stop by the Daily Dose and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to Big Rob for all that you contribute to the Daily Dose. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you so much for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
I'm a man. I'm 40.